Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for something popping up there tomorrow morning when you get the opportunity. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, don't forget to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right. So, Dan, you know, I was off on a day there, and I was quite excited to sit down and watch the hockey game, and it was 2-0 before I knew it, and it was almost like the Predators didn't realize they were even in a Game 7.
Oh, sadly, no, they did not.
So, yeah, I watched the first period. I was done after that. I was like, okay, in the end, Winnipeg ended up really just blowing them out 5-1. And I guess the question I could answer the game you saw, but the big thing going around was, Nashville pulled Pekka-Rinne. You know, he's their main guy. You know, he's the goalie on that team. He gave up 2 goals. They yanked him. The question going around now, Dan, is did they yank him too early? Would you have left him in?
I would have left him in. I mean, what difference did it make? They ended up giving up 3 more goals with a goalie in the crease, not to mention the extra one when they pulled the goalie at 3 minutes.
So, yeah, it was, you know, that seems to be the big question. You know, I mean, obviously it doesn't, in reality, it doesn't matter. They only scored 1 goal. So even if Rinne would have made all these saves, otherwise they would have lost 2-1. So it didn't change an outcome or anything, but it gets us all set up to, for the conference finals. You know, we have, Tampa Bay actually hosting Washington tonight. They're gonna open up in the Eastern Conference, so that will be cool. I gotta see here. I want to see what time. You don't happen to by any chance know off the top of your head what time puck drop is there? Because I gotta, obviously the Cubs White Sox game's already out of the way, so I should be able to click over and see some of this game. Okay, I did hear Dan. I got it. It is a 7 o'clock start for you and I. So that's not too bad. And then Saturday we've got a 6 p.m. start for Las Vegas at Winnipeg. And that game's actually on NBC. So.
Yeah. Saturday night.
So at least that will, get a little mainstream hockey action. You know, the other thing I was kind of interested in, Dan, that, everybody always kind of plays this card. Do you think the NHL is rooting for the big market Washington-Las Vegas matchup, or would they be happy with the smaller market Tampa Bay-Winnipeg deal if they get it?
I think the combination of the NHL and NBC would be rooting more for the Washington-Vegas. But I think regardless, it would be Vegas versus either team. Because I think, even if it is Tampa Bay, you could completely sell the expansion team you know, first year in existence. You know, one of the article headlines that they've been going with a lot was the unwanted guys, so to speak, you know, because they weren't held by their team, which I'm sure, you know, the Penguins and all the other teams that lost their players would have preferred to have kept these guys. But when you're only allowed to protect so many people, some guys just don't make the list.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's not a, you know, a lot of things you can do. I mean, some of these guys were, you know, salary cap casualties, and you know, this is the kind of, you know, happening in the NHL. You know, it's got a very strict salary cap, unlike the other leagues where there is a tad bit of flexibility here and there. And you know, that's why you saw a guy like, you know, a guy like Mark Ari, who's got his name on the Stanley Cup, you know, end up on an expansion team. You know, he was just carrying too big of a contract, and you know, it worked out for Pittsburgh for him to move along. You know, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other players that fit into that, you know, that category there. You know, he's just the one guy off the top of my head I remember the situation there, and that's why, you know, that's why it went that route. So, you know, it made, obviously it may help make Vegas a, you know, a Stanley Cup contender in their first year.
Yeah, which, I mean, I think in general it's pretty good for the sport.
Yeah, you know, I think it brought a lot of, you know, kind of, I don't know if I want to say excitement, but it brought some intrigue. You know, kind of looking at this team like, oh, hey, yeah, look, you know, they're brand new. Look what they're doing. Hey, so, but yeah, it'll be, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they match up against Winnipeg. You know, Winnipeg is, you know, obviously an under the radar team, even though they had the second most points in the NHL. It might be funny to say that, but I don't think I saw a Winnipeg game all year. You know, I probably heard some on the radio when they were playing the Blackhawks, but I don't think I saw them play. I don't remember them ever being featured on NBC or anything. So,
no.
You know, with the exception of Dustin Byfuglien, I'm not sure if I could tell you another guy on their team off the top of my head. I do know their goalie is Connor Hellebuck. But other than that, yeah, it would be, you know, Wayne Gretzky's not there. Oh, no, he played for Edmonton. Yeah, I don't know. Can you name another Winnipeg Jet, Dan?
No.
So, yeah, it'll be... You know, it'll be fun to see how they do and how it works out. But I do have something, switching sports here on you, something else interesting to ask you. You know, I noticed that the NBA does not start till Sunday, so they've had multiple days off here. We get the 2:30 game on Sunday. It is going to be on ABC. Dan, why is the Eastern Conference starting first when Boston-Philly was the last series to end? You know, and I mean, I know Golden State and Houston are only going to sit around one more day, but they've been sitting around for a while anyways. Why weren't they the Sunday matinee game on ABC?
Because I think people would tune in more to see LeBron than they would.
You think? Because Golden State and Houston is, you know, that's the marquee matchup. That's what everybody wanted to see. You know, what was these two teams against each other?
Yeah, but I think while a bigger portion of the audience does you know, maybe grabbed on the West Coast, I think nationally more people would maybe after Mother's Day tune in for LeBron.
Yeah, it was just weird. I don't even know how long these guys have been sitting around now. It seems like forever. I don't think the, you know, hell, I don't think the Rockets or the Warriors have been, it's going to be about 10 days, I think, before they actually get back on the court. That's always exciting and a nice way to keep your playoffs moving. So they got that going for them, but that's the NBA. I think you and I talk about this every year when the NBA playoffs come along. So, you know, that's just kind of, for whatever reason, how it goes, and we just have to live with it. Or not watch,
yeah,
which will probably be the case, because Sunday afternoon, I'm sure there'll be a baseball game on.
Oh, yeah, there'll be some good quality baseball games on, and, you know, the challenge with tomorrow night is there's a night race and the hockey playoffs. So where do you go, Big Jack?
Yeah, well, luckily with the race, it's very easy to go back and forth, because while there's not a ton of downtime, you know, it obviously can have some, you know, I don't want to say boring spots, but let's just call them not always interesting, you know, because if they just line up and they're going around, you know, there's not a whole lot there. So you can actually, you know, skip away from it for you know, periods of time to catch, you know, whatever else is on or whatever else you want to flip to. So that's the one big plus about auto racing is you don't have to see every minute of the race to know what's going on. So I haven't looked at, are they qualifying today? I mean, I'm assuming they're probably qualifying today, but I didn't look because my, you know, my free roll is all set up. So I got to see how I did.
I mean, well, that doesn't work till after it's over. So.
Yeah, but, you know, I kind of like to know where my guys are starting. So, you know, I have an idea.
Oh, okay.
You know, because if your guy gets stuck in the back, it's just, it can be, depending on, you know, how the race falls out, it could be a long day. So, you know how those fun things are. But, you know, while we were on the NBA, Dan, I found this one quite interesting. You know, the Toronto Raptors had their best regular season in team history. Their coach was just named Coach of the Year on Wednesday, and now he's out of a job.
So it's all your fault.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with that. That's, you know, just one of those things. But yeah, do you, yeah, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, is this a move you would endorse? You know, I mean, do you think they're, you know, and I understand the key is playoff success, but, you know, you just had your best season ever. You know, obviously you ran into LeBron James. I mean, those kind of things are going to happen to you. Is this really the best move for them? I mean, is the new coach going to be able to get them into the conference finals?
Well, you know, like you always say, you can't fire the players. You know, I don't know if it was so much the coach's fault or, you know, would you say it's more the general manager? Who's not doing,
yeah, and obviously, you know, he's not going to fire. You know, he's going to fire the coach before he falls on the sword, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's
so, yeah.
It's the only way you, you know, what other route do you have?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, in a situation like this, I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who's off a great season. You know, I mean, I would just kind of assume you bring him back. You know, I mean, the best season in team history. You know, you did, not that it means much, but you did go one round farther in the playoffs than you did last year. You know, and I mean, I'm sure we're gonna hear all the, you know, the fun stuff about how, well, you know, we need somebody who can get us to, you know, this point or blah blah blah. You know, and I just don't know if that changing a guy. I mean, I think it would have been better off if they would have maybe possibly considered moving some players instead of just kind of dropping the hammer on this guy.
Yeah, but I mean, how often, you know, you're asking the question that none of us are ever going to be able to answer, Because how often do we see that in, the NFL, even Major League Baseball?
Yeah, maybe they should think about that. Oh, so
But you know what I
but
mean?
yeah,
It's
I
like
guess we'll have to see who they,
teams
who they hire.
involved. I mean, even at the end of the day, what difference does that make? They could hire Michael Jordan, and does that guarantee them, being able to defeat LeBron and company in in a playoff series? So I'm kind of agreeing with you. Like, what was the point of firing this guy before you're actually doing something to make acquisitions to build, a better team or a more
Yeah.
playoff competitive team? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah,
And that's not
because
who
that,
you
yeah,
go
you know, and I mean
after.
that, right, that kind of leads to my question. It's okay, well, you go get a new coach with the same players. Okay, how does that change? I mean, you're basically walking into the same thing, right?
I mean, do you call Chris Bosh and ask him to come back?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's just, again, an odd situation, and I mean, there's a lot of times, I mean, you look around, I mean, there's so many teams that suck, and like here locally, the Bulls suck. Fred Hoiberg still has a job. They seem to love the guy. I mean, the Knicks made a change, the Hawks made a change. Some of the bad teams made changes, but yeah, and I mean, here's a team. I mean, and you got to think now, this coach probably isn't going to be out of work for very long, would you think? I mean, Dwayne Casey, with the success
No.
he had in Toronto and the record, you got to figure there's probably teams calling him already, right?
Yeah, I mean, has anyone made the move? Is anyone looking? Because, I mean, obviously we've seen that. And I can't remember his name. And I don't think it's really going to matter who the Knicks' new head coach is, because apparently they might be the next team to tank it.
Yeah, they hired David Fizdale is actually his name.
There we go.
From all reports, he's supposed to be a pretty good, I don't know, pretty good. Supposed to be a really good coach. It's just a matter of you're now coaching the Knicks, and Porzingis isn't going to be back till like January or February. So, but yeah, currently, Atlanta still has an opening. Detroit has an opening, so he could go coach Blake Griffin. The Bucks, I don't think the Bucks have taken the interim tag off their guy, so I guess technically that's still open. We got the Magic, who are still looking for a coach, and now the Raptors. So yeah, there are a few,
Well, you
a few
got
a few
this
places still
clue.
left open.
Yeah, I didn't, I haven't really kept up on my NBA news, to be
Yeah,
honest with you.
I don't care. I don't care really, but
But, for me, the names you threw out there, I think if I'm Milwaukee or, damn it, there was one other team, Detroit.
Detroit.
I think these are two teams that might be, really looking or itching to get a guy like this.
Yeah, and interestingly, when Detroit canned Stan Van Gundy, that not only opened up the head coaching job, he was also president of basketball operations. They haven't said if they're going to hire two guys to fill the role, or if it'll just be another guy they're going to bring in with to do both jobs. So that could be interesting.
Money. Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest. You look at all those teams, of course, every one of them could use a coach like this, but I think the team that maybe could benefit mostly would be a program like Milwaukee. I know you and
Yeah.
I aren't, like you said, huge NBA guys or huge Bucks fans, but I mean, they've got a pretty quality program going on up there, or team going on up there. We're talking about college basketball. But with the guys that they have, something's not working, and maybe he could be the one to, get some more camaraderie between amongst all the players, and maybe get them to that next step where they're not skating around trying to land a 7-8 seed, and maybe really securing a 4 or 5 spot.
So yeah,
Don't
I
have to like
think,
Detroit, you know.
kind of looking at the jobs that are open, I think Milwaukee's probably number one, with Detroit right behind it at number two. I definitely think those are, the best two jobs. Atlanta is still, kind of in tank mode. They're still kind of rebuilding. Who knows how long it'll take to shake that out. The Magic are kind of in that same situation, and the Suns fell apart last year. I don't know what the heck, happened there. So I don't know if a new guy coming in could straighten it out,
Change
or
anything?
you know. Oh, and that's
Well,
right. I'm caught up here. The Suns actually did make a hire. I forgot about this. They hired Igor Kokoslov, who was the Jazz assistant. So he will be the first European-born NBA head coach. So we can throw the Suns job out now.
What's his name got is behind that, the woman. Do you think she'll get a job next year? The guy who Paul
No, I
Gasol,
think,
he's all behind.
yeah, Becky Hammond, she's had some interviews. And, I heard a really good point made about her. They were talking today that when you're an assistant coach, you really need to be the assistant coach that sits in the first row next to the head coach. And she isn't there yet. She sat in that second row behind everybody. Now, the Spurs did just lose an assistant, James Borrega. He got the Charlotte job. So there are rumors that she may join him and be what would be called a first bench assistant. But if she does stay in San Antonio, she could get his role and get the first seat on the bench next to Popovich. So she needs to get a little more experience. Like now, I think it would just be too big of a reach for a team to hire her. And if they did hire her, I don't know if it would be because she earned the job or because if they wanted to be the team that said, "Hey, we hired a woman." So.
I didn't realize there was a seating process to coaching.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until I heard this guy was a former NBA front office guy. And he kind of explained the hierarchy, the way the bench works. And that's something, I have seen that in games, and I really didn't pay that much attention to it. It's just kind of like I always figured, well, you want the players sitting in the first row because they got to get in and out of the game. But yeah, apparently,
Yeah.
as far as assistants go, your input on the team really is kind of valued on where you sit. So, that's something you can look for.
And the other part of it is I didn't, I always knew, and just from watching that there was definitely a lot more suits over there, in the second row, so to speak. But with the way people show up to games, you figure those are just people with the money. I didn't realize that they were actually part of the team, and I did not realize that there was, more than one assistant coach. Obviously, you have to have an assistant coach because you wouldn't expect, Popovich or, Tibbs or all those guys to be holding the clipboards and, taking notes or doing any of that kind of stuff because they've got to keep their eyes on the game the entire time. So, and obviously, we know about assistant coaches from Luke Walton, and I think, really his success with Golden State helped him land the Lakers job. But yeah, I mean, I didn't realize you, your importance, or there was more than one assistant coach. Just figured maybe there was a trainer and
Yeah,
couple other guys
in
like that.
reality, like what I've heard about most NBA teams is the assistants are actually the guys that run practice. So, the head coach is really just kind of an observer, and it's the assistant coach that are out there, basically batting things around and kind of harping on guys, where they're supposed to be, how the offense goes, those kind of things. So kind of how it rolls, so to speak.
How about
but that? All right. All right, we did have one early game today, Dan, just one, and I was actually a little surprised they played it. I didn't think they were going to get it in. Not surprisingly, the White Sox took another bad loss on the chin as the Cubs knocked them around 11-2. Interestingly here, Tyler Chatwood got a win. I know I have him in one league. Do you have him in the other?
No, I've got him in the ESPN league, which I don't believe I've checked in a week or two.
I think I tried to trade him to you, and you rejected that trade, though. So he's now 3-3 with the win. He went 5 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs. They were both earned. 5 walks, which is no surprise in Chatwood's game. He just walks a ton of guys. Did strike out 6, so that was a positive there. Carson Fulmer took the loss for the White Sox. Horrible outing, just 1 2/3. 3 hits, 5 runs. They were all earned. He walked 4 and struck out 3. Fantasy-wise, hey, if you're on the Ben Zobrist bandwagon, he was 3-for-6 with 2 runs scored. Chris Bryant was 2-for-3. He scored 3 times, drove in 2 runs, walked twice, and I know one of his hits was a home run. Anthony Rizzo was 1-for-3 with 2 runs scored. He drove in a run, and he also walked twice. Looks like Kyle Schwarber was 1-for-3 with a run scored. The big Cub to have today, Dan, of course, as you know, Wilson Contreras. 4-for-5, 2 runs scored, 7 RBIs, and half of his hits were home runs. So maybe Wilson Contreras is going to get hot finally and hit some bombs, huh?
Yeah, well, you forgot to mention it was a grand slam.
In the first inning.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I zoned out and I wasn't paying attention to the time, but I turned it on right. Seriously, it was that very pitch. He launched his grand slam. I was having some issues with the internet, so I heard Pat, on the third ball, almost hit him, and then my NBC Sports Chicago finally kicked on, and I saw that very next pitch, boom. Grand slam. The one thing I thought you might find very interesting was somebody, I don't know if it was a tweet, Facebook thing or whatever, but NBC, if you watch it on the computer, they, if you don't do the full screen, they have a little a thing with, people's tweets or comments or whatever. And someone tweeted out or commented out there, some first inning grand slams by Cubs versus White. I think it was strictly versus White Sox games, and there was 4 of them. Aramis Ramirez was one of them. There was a couple other. I don't remember off the top of my head, but the one that just stood out to me, and I know you would get a kick out of it, and I didn't realize this happened, was, I think, like 16 or 14. Mike Ulf hit a grand slam against the White Sox. So,
he always finds a way into the podcast, doesn't he? We should see if he come on and talk to us.
Yeah. it was one of those things, like I said, I remember Ramirez because he was one of my guys when that team was going on. But the other names were recognizable names. There was even, I believe, a pitcher in there. Or maybe I'm wrong. It could be. But I don't know, for whatever reason, that name just stood out, and I knew it. I had to bring that up to you because I knew you'd get a kick out of that one.
Oh, yeah, and then, on the other side, the Sox only had 5 hits. Jose Abreu had 2. He scored a run, and he also drove in one of their runs. Daniel Polka had 2 hits. I believe one was a double, and he drove in a run. And then Yomer Sanchez was the only other guy to get a hit for the White Sox. So not a ton of offense from the Southsiders today. So there you go. But, yeah, that's our only game in the books. Everything else is still scheduled for this evening.
7 o'clock. Now, one of the fun things or cool thing, whatever you want to call it, the Cubs are taking more time, or their broadcast team is taking more time to enlighten us with more stuff, giving you, bringing Kelly Kroll into it a little more with, different stuff. And one of the things they threw in there was an interview, with Joe Madden. about his feelings, or not, I don't want to say feelings, but you know, his attitude towards Renteria and how he kind of feels bad for him and knows what he's going about with this rebuild process on the south side. You know, with I guess you know what I just I don't really remember a whole lot of is, did the Rays really go through a rebuild? You know, he mentioned
No.
you know he had a lot of young guys, and once you got you know the and he's talking for the White Sox. You know, once you get those veterans in there, you know that may be able to kick them in. You know, give them a kick in the butt they need. But you know, I was just sitting there trying to go back, and you know, I was like, wait, did the Rays really do a rebuild? I mean, I know they were bad, but I didn't think they were in any kind of quote rebuild mode when he was there, because it was like you never really heard of Joe Maddon, and then all of a sudden we have a bunch of you know, was it 2 or 3 years in a row where we they gave us that game 163, you know, where they were kind of battling it out with the Red Sox and Yankees.
Yeah. So I just want to know, did Madden talk at all about stealing Renteria's job?
No, they did not bring that up,
No,
oddly.
that didn't come out, nothing like, oh, okay. So, because
No.
that I would have been interested in that. I mean, the rest is, you know, the rest is just crap. I don't care about any of that. I don't care about what he did in Tampa or, you know, any of that stuff. They never rebuilt anything, so, you know.
You know, I
That's
mean, just because you're getting good draft picks doesn't necessarily mean you're in a rebuild.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he did a nice job with a bunch of young players. You
Yeah.
know, I mean, they were never going to win anything. They're never going to win anything with the way the team is composed. It's just the way they have to go about business because they can't draw, so they can't bring in the guys, you know, they need to do to, you know, finish off your squad. You know, I mean, they had to deal David Price because they couldn't afford him. You know, when Chris Archer hits the last year of his contract, he'll have to go because they can't afford him. You know, Longoria's gone because they needed that salary off the books. You know, I mean, it's just it's the state of baseball in some places that, you know, like Tampa Bay, Kansas City, some of these smaller markets that, you know, these guys can't hang around. You know, as sad as it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, not only that, they have the Rookie of the Year 2013, and sadly he's not performing to that level, but he's no longer with the team also. That was
Yeah.
pretty quick turnaround. Oh, do you believe that Chris Archer was one of they wanted to hang on to because that what else do you have to draw on? You know, Cargo's been
Yeah,
doing
well.
pretty well down there, even, you know, with Span too.
Yeah, they got lucky with Archer, and he signed a very team-friendly deal. You know, I believe they ate up some of his arbitration years, and he's on a real team-friendly deal. I really think that's the only reason he's still there. You know, that's why they've been able to ask, you know, anytime his name comes up. You know, I think it was it last year that they asked that when the Dodgers inquired, they asked for five prospects.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't have to move him. I mean, you need to blow them away to, you know, to get Chris Archer. So, you know, that's just kind of how it's worked out for them. And, you know, I mean, right now they're what? They're better than the Orioles. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, in that division. And, you know, obviously it sucks they're, you know, it sucks that they're in that division because the Yankees and Red Sox are always going to spend money to contend. You know, I mean, I know the Yankees went that little bit of time where they kind of shuffled things around and they got their house in order. And, you know, but I mean, Aaron Judge is never going to wear another uniform. The Yankees are always going to pay
No.
him. You know, I mean, those guys aren't going anyplace. You know, Gleyber Torres will be a Yankee for life if he performs. You know, I mean, just kind of how those things go, where, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, in reverse, you know, Tampa Bay can't do that. We just kind of went through that. So, you know, it's just sadly, it's the facts of, you know, the monetary facts of baseball. So, yay. But, you know, that's the so well, hey, at least they found something for Joe Maddon to do. Now, you know, Dan, I want to know how excited are you for Matt Harvey's first start as a Red tonight against the Dodgers?
I'm gonna quote a man that you would normally never hear either one of us quote, but I did get a kick out of it earlier today. And Jim Deshaies said, "The Dark Knight Rising." I don't know if he kind of had a little inflection at the end, slight, you know, so it wasn't a complete statement, but it, you know, he didn't really give you that question on it. So it will be interesting. I'll definitely try to tune in for a minute or two between the hockey games, but you know, it might be more so one of those where I'm just checking the app to see how he's performing. But you know, even this was something, you know, the Cubs broadcast, they brought up too, is I don't think you can expect much, and not so much out of him, but out of his level of involvement for the game tonight. They just, and I think that's a fair anticipation that he may not go longer than four, maybe five innings.
Yeah, you got to figure five innings. Yeah, you know, so.
But I think it'll be interesting, you know. Yeah, maybe change the old change of scenery, you know.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, I did something on FanDuel that I don't normally do. I built a late night league, and I did plug four Dodgers into the lineup. So, you know, I am going with the idea that he's going to struggle and they're going to score off him.
Took me a second to realize where you were going with that. I forgot that they were playing the Dodgers.
Yeah, I plugged it in and I ran with it. So hopefully, you know, I even have a couple Dodgers in the lineup that I'll throw out when you run away here in a few minutes. So you know, I figure it's a good night to try to get Dodgers in your lineup, right? I mean, you know, is there a pitcher out there that's had more issues than Harvey, you know, going tonight? I don't think so. So what the hell?
Yeah, and I was late on that one you sent me, so I wasn't able to get in.
Oh, that's disappointing. So, but interesting. While we're on this, Dan, guess what? I didn't hit any homers. I didn't hit any homers last night.
Neither did I.
So tonight I have plugged in my homer lineup, Dan. I have Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and Charlie Blackmon as my three guys. So.
You know, I was really hoping that Davey Martinez, whatever his last name is for the Nationals, would have put Bryce Harper in the three hole, because then I could have had Mookie Betts batting first, Mike Trout batting second, and Bryce Harper batting third.
and I have decided, Dan, that if Nationals and Angels fans are willing to cough up enough money, I will stop using them. All right, I will go that route. I will remove the curse, and I will begin to know. I will no longer pick them in Home Run Derby, and then maybe they will hit some for you. But until then, as long as there is a free Home Run Derby on FanDuel, and the Nationals and Angels are playing with Harper and Trout in the lineup, they will be there, and I will come on here every day and tell you that neither of them has hit a home run since I started doing this. I think it's been a week now. And neither guy is homered. So.
And I'm doubling down on you. So.
Yeah. Well, I think your luck's a little better. Your luck's a little better than mine. Well, some days. So. I think right out of the gate you were doing well, weren't you?
I didn't win, you know, per se, any money during an individual contest, but I believe it was the first or second week. You know, my guys hit like seven or eight or more in 1 week, and I, you know, there's chump change, but I landed $5 and a bunch of FanDuel.
And with the way it's going, I would take $5 right now. the one thing I was a little disappointed today, Dan, that we're actually on the air right now, is I was hoping to catch Andrew McCutchen's first at bat in Pittsburgh. You know, the Giants are in Pittsburgh for the first time. And I was hoping to get that on, but, you know, the game's already started, and I'm sure the at-bat has probably taken place by now. I'll have to see if I can catch that somewhere in a highlight down the road or something like that. But I thought that was pretty interesting tonight that he gets to return home.
Yeah. Well, you can always log in, whether you're on the PlayStation, the Roku TV. I know you don't have PS3 on anymore. since you have the Roku stick, but even on the tablet, you can just, tonight after the game's over, or, well, no, actually on the Roku, I never double checked this on the app itself on the tablet, but I know on the Roku you could start the game from the beginning and then just
Yeah.
kind of move towards obviously towards his at bat. The one thing I wish, well, I think you can actually jump to innings too, so I don't know, you could just kind of go check the box, see where he did, excuse me, come back, come up to bat and just jump to that inning. While we're on it real quick, I emailed or I chatted or whatever, however you want to say it, with MLB.TV. And I know you don't watch a whole lot on the PC or your laptop, but I do at work. And, I don't know if you noticed this or how many users out there have noticed this, but I was highly disappointed this year that they took away the Mosaic feed. So you can no longer
Oh.
stream four games at once. You can literally only get one game. So it's highly disappointing, because when I'm at work, especially during lunch, I would put on any four games. Obviously, the one I want to listen to, I might tune into, have that one on for the sound. But I mean, hell, they could put all sound on at once, and I would still try to be able to decipher. I got a good mind like that. I could listen to all four at once. But I just had to say, I had to put it out there. I was highly disappointed, and all I got back was, "Well, we made some changes, and the updates may come later." I don't know. I mean, maybe because the cost went down like $20 or something, they dropped that option. But with what they charge, and just with technology today, I know the biggest issue is, they don't want to lose, the local funding or, money or whatever. I don't know how that works. But the one thing that's irritating, and it worked out today, but majority of the Cubs games, I'm unable to stream unless they're an NBC game. Because if they're WGN and you go to WGN's app, they only stream freaking news. Which I don't understand. You've got a network and you have what? News from 5 a.m. till 3 p.m. or something? It's freaking ridiculous. I don't want to watch the damn news. I want to watch the Cubs game. Even with ABC, you go to the ABC app if the Cubs are on ABC, you try to stream it, and this is, PC. This is if I'm at home. I have to watch, well, fortunately Comcast has the app. I can have my TVs now. But you can't stream through ABC app either. So it's kind of ridiculous. And I mean, I get it. They want, their locals to get their money. But if you're streaming the game locally, I don't understand how there's no way of tracking it. It's through the internet. You have to log in. They have your IP address as to where you're logging in. So I don't know why they just can't put it through MLB dot, dot TV with the local commercials. I don't understand that process, why they can't get to that.
Well, maybe sometime they finally will.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I have a lot more that I could say about it, but it's kind of sticking in the back of my brain right now because this one irritates me. But I feel like with the way technology is today, that they could be doing a whole hell of a lot more with this stuff. And I'd be willing to pay a little bit more if we got a lot more, but we're not getting any more. So they better not charge us more. But I did find out a thing, and I have to throw this out there for all MLB lovers who may not subscribe to this because maybe it's a little off, maybe out of your price range. But when the season comes around next year, or if you haven't subscribed already this year, go to the MLBPP alumni, MLB alumni. You could look for it on MLB's website themselves. But if you go to the MLB alumni, there's, this is something for fans, alumni, and former players of the game. And if you join, I believe it's their secondary package. Not only do you get a New Era customized, fitted hat that goes along with it, they actually give you a coupon or a code for 50% off of MLB.TV. I don't know if that's yearly, but I'm definitely joining next year so that I can get that hat, which, you know, these hats are generally valued at like, you know, $35 to $50, depending on, you know, what the style is or the materials. And you not only get that, but you get access to this cool website, and then you get a coupon or, you know, code to get 50% off MLB.tv, which I think is a huge saving. So while you're spending approximately the same amount of money, because you, you know, you figure it's like $120 now, so, you know, whatever half of that is, plus the $75 I think it is for the alumni thing, it's a really sweet deal, and I'm definitely going for it next year. So I'm going to have to remember to take my auto pay off of this MLB.tv before the season's over, and then make sure I join and get my coupon and go that route.
So, yeah, you'll definitely have to save that extra
cash
there. That's always a good deal. Yeah, hey, what the heck?
Well, you know,
do it every year, you can get a hat every year.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. I'm like, it's, you know, you're technically – you're paying the same thing, but, you know, like I said, you're getting a freaking hat. You're getting to be a part of this association, the alumni. I'll see how that works out. It's, you know, it seems like it's a pretty cool thing. I think Frank Roberts is the president. Is that the former Baltimore Oriole?
Frank Robinson?
Big Jack. Robinson, there we go. Daniel, you remember. He's the president of the, you know, the alumni. And then, you know, with the added benefits. So you're kind of paying the same money, but you're getting more out of it. So I thought that was pretty cool. And if you do the bigger pro, you know, the bigger paid one, you get a embroidered polo shirt, but I'm not really interested in the polo shirt.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But all right, well, you know, Dan, I did a little better on FanDuel last night. I managed to hump myself back over 100 points. I missed out. I missed cashing by about 15 points. So I'm hoping tonight's a little better. I like to do as much research as I can, and there were three guys that everybody was the consensus on that you had to get into your lineup tonight. They were Max Scherzer, Charlie Blackmon, and J.D. Martinez. So I did plug all three of these guys into my FanDuel lineup, but, man, I had to search for value after that because all three of these guys are quite expensive. So here's what I came up with. I do have Scherzer pitching. He cost me $11,700. I actually have a catcher in the catcher first base spot. I have Jorge Alfaro of the Phillies. He's hitting eighth tonight for them. Cost me $2,200. Chase Utley's leading off for the Dodgers tonight. I have him at second base. He's $2,300. Third base is David Fries of the Pirates. He's $2,300, hitting sixth for them. At short, I got Miguel Rojas of the Marlins. He's hitting seventh for them. Cost me $2,700. And then my outfield is Blackmon, who cost me $5,000. Martinez, who cost me $4,400. And then my second Dodger of the night, Jock Peterson, who cost me $2,400. All that being said, Dan, I had squat left. My utility guy is Lourdes Gurriel Jr., hitting ninth for the Blue Jays, cost me $2,000 because that was all I had left. So there you go. Again, just real quick, it's Scherzer is my pitcher. Alfaro of the Phillies is my catcher. Utley of the Dodgers at second. Fries of the Pirates at third, Rojas of the Marlins at short. My outfield is Blackmon of the Rockies, Martinez of the Red Sox, Peterson of the Dodgers, and then my utility guy is Gurriel Jr. of the Blue Jays. So, yeah.
Should make some money tonight.
Well, I hope so. It would be nice. I haven't moneyed in. I don't think I've moneyed this week. Well, I was playing a lot of the free rolls. I know I wasn't cashing anything there. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, it would be it would be nice. And then, you know, I have the night league, but I just made sure I got it in. I have to go back and check the lineup later to make sure all the guys are, you know, actually playing. You know, some of those games start a little later. So, you know, I think it's 9:07 or something is the actual start time of the league. But, you know, interestingly, Dan, I saw this today, and this is kind of big for one of my fantasy teams. Adam Eaton underwent arthroscopic surgery on his injured left ankle today. I was under the impression he was recovering already, but apparently they did an evaluation and it revealed what they described as a cartilage problem. They put him back in the walking boot, Dan, and there is no timetable for his return. I heard a couple reports today that say people think he is done for the season again.
Well, wow. Yeah, that was going to be my question.
How do the Nationals do without him again?
Michael Taylor, has he played more than 20 games for them?
You know, I can double check that and let you know here really quick. I just happened to have his stuff up. Of course, I went flying by it there for some reason. No, he played 23 games last year and 8 this year. Now, interestingly, before he ended up with the Nationals, no problems. He played 157 games 1 year and 153 the year before that. So,
I was pretty damn close.
Yeah.
I said 20, and you said 31 over 2 seasons.
Yeah.
But
so
quick,
31 total.
Just a quick one to throw out there. There's nothing you could do about it if you're in a Yahoo Fantasy League, because I asked them why not. But there's a delay for the Detroit-Seattle game.
Oh, is it a rain delay?
Yeah. Good thing Felix isn't pitching.
Yeah. Some more national news, Dan. They got to put Matt Wieters on the 10-day DL. So he is. I think it's a second trip to the DL. If you're interested, they called up Spencer Kaboom. Actually, I think it's Keyboom, but I like Kaboom better to be their backup catcher. And the positive news, I guess, for the Nationals is it appears that Daniel Murphy is going to be ready to return by the end of the month.
Yay.
Yeah, so that's what they have going on. But, yeah, I don't know how, at this point, how big of a loss is Eaton to them, do you think?
I, seeing as he has had a sip of coffee, I don't really think it's really a big loss because they really don't know what they're supposed to get out of him.
Yeah, they got off to a little bit of a slow start, but they've bounced back now. I know a lot of people had their demise going, but they're 21-18. Technically, they're in third place, but the Phillies are 22-15 and the Braves are 22-14. So it's not like they're a long way out of the way. Now, do you think it's time with this going on with Eaton? Is it time they call up this top prospect we've heard about for like 3 years, Victor Robles, and start getting him in the lineup and getting him rolling? Because, Michael Taylor's been playing regularly, Dan, but he's hitting the .188.
Yeah, I've actually got him in one of the leagues. And, the time I didn't play him, he hit some nice bombs, but other than that, he's not really the savior for the team. And maybe with Robles, wait another week or two and he should be. And I'm just going based off of the Chris Bryant move, because I don't believe he came up until May 14-15, and I think that's around the same timetable as Schwarber was on. So I think it's definitely a question you put out there that needs to be answered. But I think we can sit on that until this time next week. And if he's not up there, you got to start wondering what are their plans? What are they going to do? Is this a kid they're really going to bring up? Because whatever they did have, they did give away to the White Sox.
Yeah.
For a guy who's not performing, or not even not performing, but not playing for them, technically.
So, yeah, and, you know, maybe waiting's not a bad idea because looking here, Robles is at Triple A, but he's only played four games. So now I don't know if he just came back from an injury. There's no injury listed on his history here or anything. So I'm guessing he's playing. So yeah, maybe a little more time there. You know, that, like you said, a week or whatever, and then, you know, bring him up, let him get a few more at-bats under his belt. But, you know, he is just 20, and he's been playing center field. So, you know, he could kind of step up and, you know, maybe fill the void, provide a little bit of a spark. You know, I know he made he was a September call-up last year in 13 games. He hit .250, you know, double, couple triples, drove in four runs. So, you know, just a small, you know, small sample size there on a September call-up. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, now's as good a time as any, isn't it? Or
yeah,
the next couple of weeks.
You know, we'll have to see. Yeah, you know, because I mean, looking at like even, you know, the rest of the guys they're carrying. I mean, I know Howie Kendrick and Matt Adams can play, you know, a little bit of outfield, but. You know, like the other guys, like they have more. They're carrying Moises Sierra, who's been up, and you know, he's gotten what's he got here, 51 at bats, but he's hitting the .276. You know, even some of their, you know, like Andrew Stevens has done pretty well. Maybe they'll bring him back. He hit .323 while he was here, but you know, Brian Goodwin ended up on the DL. Rafael Batista was just made a brief appearance, didn't get any hits and six at bats. You know, I think in this case they're just as well off just bringing Robles up and letting him play full time. You know, and seeing what he can do, right?
Yeah, because I mean, at this point, what did Adam Eaton have left on his contract?
Yeah,
isn't it something like 4 years?
Oh.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can tell you. Give me a second. I can get it for us while you're talking.
You know, with the issues that he's been having with, you know, like you said, the cartilage and whatever is going on, how confident are you that he's going to come back, bounce back next year? You know, I'd rather continue to playing Roland.
He signed next year for $8.4 million. There are two option years on the deals, but there's a $1.5 million buyout if they choose not to to pick up his option. So,
I mean, relatively speaking, you know, terms for today, you know, I mean, if it doesn't work out, they're really not losing a whole lot. You know, and if, you know, either way,
Bedford, you know, they, like you said, they gave up quite a bit in the trade to get him. But, yeah, you know, it's not going to hurt him to let him go. All right, well, we'll take the time for the animal. I'll be back at 10 a.m. animal.com. Always a big thanks for coming on up with your live. Anytime you want to talk to us at